Well, isn't today such a beautiful day outside? I woke up this morning. It is just gorgeous. You know, this is the time of the year where gradually the days get longer and we have more daylight. And what that means is, believe it or not, summer, I know we're still in winter, getting through winter, but summer is just around the corner. And days like today, it reminds me of that. And summer is important for you parents with kids who are in our junior high and high school ministries, because it's not too early to start planning for summer. This summer, the Ascent Summer Retreat will be up at Alpine Retreat and Camp up in Blue Jay. And retreats are a wonderful opportunity for our students to go up into the mountains and to spend time getting closer to God and closer to one another. And they're going to hear inspiring messages from our guest speaker. They'll take part in wonderful activities. I heard that there's a high ropes course up at Alpine. There's archery tag and a lot more. And so please mark your calendars for June 26th through the 29th. And the retreat is open to all incoming sixth graders and graduated 12th graders. And there is an early bird prize, so make sure you go to efreedb.org/youth to sign up and to get a lot more information. But that's exciting, and I've got some more exciting news. As you can see, week by week, work is being done on our Children's Center. Isn't that exciting? And right now is it's an opportunity for us to come together. You know, from day one, this has been a community effort. And as progress is being made on the exterior, now we're going to focus a lot of our attention to the inside, into all the classrooms. And this is where we need your help. We're looking for volunteers who have experience, who are experts in some of these areas. So, for example, your graphic designers and product designers, help us to add creativity and engaging visuals to the interior. Also, for those of you who like history, church historians and archivists, we're looking to gather pictures from our church's rich history. Also, we're looking for people who are handy, especially with power tools. All right, we need volunteers to install and cut out wood paneling. We're looking for interior painting experts so you can bring color and warmth to the walls. We're also looking for people who are passionate about moving furniture. And you have a special gift to be part of a setup crew. That is a gift. You know that, in all seriousness, the gift of service and helps, which we'll talk about in the rest of our series, in fact. If you fit any of these categories, or as one person came up to me after first service, you know, I don't have a lot of skills, but I want to help. If that fits you, we're looking for volunteers who are passionate about bringing beauty to the interior of this amazing worship center. See Stephanie Wang and Sunny Chang on the patio at the table right outside the door after service, and they'll give you all the information on how you can help. And if you only have a few hours to help, or if you want to commit to an even deeper, more extensive commitment to this project, please, you can find out all the important information at the table after we're done. We're looking forward to the grand opening of this building, which I hear is not that long away. I don't want to give you a date, okay? Because you know how construction can go. But, you know, sometime this year in the spring, we're going to see the brand new Children's Center. It's going to be amazing. All right. Well, if you would bow with me one more time, I want to go before the Lord and ask him to open our hearts as we open up his word. Father, thank you for your word. And through your word, you teach us each and every week and each and every day. You tell us about your love for us, that you've created us in your image to have a lasting relationship with us. And so you've authored our salvation. You arranged it. And your son Jesus, he accomplished it on the cross. And the Holy Spirit applies that to our daily lives. And so we ask that your Spirit would guide us as we open your word, that you would teach us, that you would transform us, and that our lives would look more and more like Jesus each and every day. We pray these things in his name. Amen. The title of this morning's message is The Dynamic Movement of the Holy Spirit. The Dynamic Movement of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be in the book of Acts. Last week, Pastor Daniel introduced you to the first few chapters of the book of Acts, and we made our way into Missions Month last Sunday, and we're going to continue in Missions Month today, and we're going to continue to explore the book of Acts throughout this morning's message. The book of Acts was written by a doctor by the name of Luke. Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke was a Gentile, and what that means is the term Gentile refers to anybody from a nation other than a Jewish community, other than from a Jewish heritage. And so Luke was a Gentile. If you were to sit down and read the entire book of Acts, all 28 chapters in one sitting, here's what you would notice. The one theme that stands out throughout the book of Acts is the theme of movement. It's all about movement. The gospel is moving, it is spreading, and the people are moving with it. Do you know anyone who is just constantly moving, who just can't sit still? Sure you do. We call them toddlers. Toddlers, they have a hard time keeping still. And the beauty of toddlers is they always want to discover. They're exploring and discovering new things. Now, I get it for parents and grandparents of toddlers. That's a tiring phase, right? Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm, that's right. But the beauty is these toddlers, they're so eager to see things that they don't know and to learn and explore. And so the early church, they were like spiritual toddlers, ready to explore and discover new things that God was doing. And so they just could not sit still in the best sense possible. Here at our church, we have a wiggle room. And that's where the toddlers go and gives them opportunities to move around. In a minute, I'm going to read to you a handful of passages in the book of Acts to give you just a glimpse into this movement. And we're going to move rapidly, all right? So you can just follow along up here on the screen as I read these verses that'll give you a glimpse into the movement and the rapid pace of the movement in Acts. We'll start with Acts 6, verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Chapter 16, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. And chapter 19, verse 20, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So you get a sense of this constant movement. And these verses give us just a very small glimpse into this forward movement of the gospel since the inception of the church. The early church, they understood the power of the gospel. They lived the power of the gospel in their lives. They could not sit still. And they wanted others to experience what they had. That's the beauty of new Christians. The excitement. They have found something new. And when you have something that you found that is so exciting, you don't want to keep it to yourselves. Now that we've read these four verses, what I want to do is I want to take you back to the beginning. So I invite you now to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In your Bibles, go to Acts 1, and we'll go back to the beginning, to the inception of the church. And in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus said to his disciples shortly before Jesus was lifted up to heaven. And this would be the beginning of the New Testament church. I want to show you a chart that describes the forward movement of the gospel throughout the book of Acts. Take a look up here. We'll leave this up here for a minute because I want to walk you through this. What we see here is first the birth, the establishment of the church. And then as the church makes its way through the book of Acts, we see a progression. So in the first seven chapters of Acts, what we see is the church established in Jerusalem, a city. So it's a city church, localized. And the leading figure in the first seven chapters of Acts is the Apostle Peter. And the primary focus is on the Jewish population. The Jewish population is being evangelized to. The gospel is reaching the residents of Jerusalem, this one city, very local. And then as we progress through Acts, we come to Acts chapters 8 through 11, 8 through 12, and we start to see a transition. Now, the Apostle Peter is still the leading figure, but there's this transition from this local city called Jerusalem. The church extends to Judea and Samaria. We would actually call this the church extending from a city nationally. So there's a shift in focus from city to national, Judea and Samaria. But then as we get to chapter 13 and to the end of the book of Acts, we see this shift from the leader. Peter has handed the baton to Paul. Paul becomes the central figure in these chapters. And the focus now shifts to Gentile evangelism. Those who are part of the non-Jewish heritage. And so as we go back and we see the progression, this is important and this is exciting. I hope you understand. This is why we're here today. Because we move from one city, Jerusalem, and one specific culture. It moves national. It extends Judea and Samaria. And then it becomes cross-cultural. It expands to the ends of the earth. And that's why Paul would be known as the apostle to the Gentiles. And when Paul reaches Rome, which at that time was considered the capital of the Gentile world. And by the way, Rome was considered to be the ends of the earth in relation to Jerusalem. So you get the picture. Paul makes it to Rome, which is the capital of the Gentile world, which is also the ends of the earth at that time. And that's what Jesus was referring to. The narrative of the book of Acts comes to an end. But I've got a question for you. Did the gospel stop moving? Did it stop moving after the end of the book of Acts? Of course not. How do I know that? Well, you're here, and I'm here. The gospel continued generation after generation after generation. And I, for one, I'm excited. The gospel, which began locally and as one specific group, it expanded all the way to now being cross-cultural. And all you have to do is look at our church to see the excitement of the cross-cultural spread of the gospel. It's exciting. You and I, we are the recipients. You and I are living out what was spoken about in the book of Acts. Now, I just mentioned two names, Peter and Paul, but the reality is this. There's only one central figure in the gospel or in the book of Acts, and that's the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the central figure. We cannot read Acts without focusing on the role of the Holy Spirit. The forward movement was not human designed. It was not human powered. It was powered by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who orchestrated the growth and the expansion of the church. And what we have in Acts is a 30-year documentation of the church's initial existence. 30 incredible years of growth and expansion. It was dynamic. And for 30 years, that was documented for us by Luke, the physician. We see the people in the early church proclaiming and living out the gospel. And Luke took such great care in deciding which events to include for us to read. And more than anything, here's what Luke wanted us to gain from this document. He wanted you and me, he wanted each of us to see a transition from the earthly ministry of Jesus to then the ministry of the apostles. He wanted you and me to see a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And he wanted you and me to see a transition from the nation of Israel as God's ambassadors to the church, comprising both Jews and Gentiles as God's ambassadors. The early church was alive, and it was well, and it was moving. And on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, he preached one of the greatest sermons ever. Probably the second greatest sermon after Jesus's. But Peter preached one of the greatest sermons of all time, and as a result, 3,000 believers were baptized. Talk about a workout for a pastor, baptizing 3,000 people. I mean, that's amazing. 3,000 people were baptized. The church was alive. It was well. It was growing. It was dynamic. There was excitement in the air. And there was so much to celebrate. Now, were there difficulties in the early church? Absolutely. Every church has its issues and conflicts. And we actually read some of those conflicts in the book of Acts. But even the growing pains of the early church, it was proof that the church was actually alive, because dead churches can't grow. So even the growing pains demonstrated that the Spirit was moving. I once came across a list describing the differences between a living church and a dead church. I found it quite interesting. It was compiled by one pastor, and I thought I'd share with you some of those comparisons. How can you tell if a church is alive or if it's dead? It's an important question. How can you tell if a church is spiritually alive or if it is spiritually dead? Well, according to this list, living churches are constantly improving for the future. Dead churches worship their past. Well, this isn't how we've always done it. We've never done it that way before. This is how we've always done it. Living churches are constantly improving for the future. Dead churches worship the past. Living churches move out in faith. Dead churches operate by sight. You know, that's impossible. It'll never get done. We can't do it. It's too big for us. Is anything too big for our God? Absolutely not. Living churches operate or move out in faith. Dead churches, they just see and say, no, can't be done. Living churches are filled with cheerful givers. Dead churches are filled with reluctant tippers. I like that one. That one's self-explanatory. And finally, living churches evangelize while dead churches fossilize. That one is sobering. Living churches evangelize. There's constant growth. There's constant change. Dead churches, they fossilize. The early church in the book of Acts was alive. It was well. It was filled with people who were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And there's a passage in chapter 2 that describes this so well. Look at chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love this passage, and I love the opening line. It says, they devoted themselves. I love the word devotion. It's a very descriptive, picturesque word. The word devotion, according to the dictionary, it means a strong love or loyalty for something or someone. Devotion. A strong love or loyalty for something or someone. Now, for you dog owners out there, you know all about loyalty and devotion. There's nothing quite as devoted and loyal as your pet dog. So when you go out the front door to go to work or to go to school, you know that your dog is there right at the door and can't wait till you come home and open the door. Some of you have a hard time even going to the bathroom in your own home without your dog following you to the bathroom. Yeah, shut that door hard. Or your dog will just nose it open. That's how loyal they are. That's how devoted they are. How many times have we heard stories of dogs waiting patiently for their owner's return? Now, of course, here in Southern California, we experienced devastating wildfires just a short time ago. Devastating. Our state has had a history of destructive wildfires. And in November of 2018, up in Northern California, the Camp Fire took the lives of 85 people. Our state's deadliest wildfire. In the midst of one tragic story after another, there were stories of hope. You see, for this one homeowner named Andrea, when the fire started, she couldn't get home to go get her Anatolian shepherd named Madison. And as the fires raged, Andrea could not go. And all she could do was pray, hoping that her dog would survive. The homeowner was not allowed to go back to her home for weeks after the fire. And when she was finally able to go back to her home, which was decimated by the fire, here's what she saw. She saw her dog, Madison, seemingly protecting what remained of her home, waiting for her owner's return, weeks after the fire. And as Andrea was being interviewed by a local news station, Andrea just kept looking at her dog, and Madison, the dog, the tail's wagging, and Andrea just kept looking at her dog saying, "You are the best. You are the best." And when I read that, I thought, wait a minute. I thought my dog was the best. Isn't my dog the best? And your dog's the best. And your dog's the best. They're the best. Every morning when I get ready to take our German Shepherd out, you know, I'll put Kingston there in the garage. I'll sit him down. I'll put on my shoes on a bench. And he'll come right in front of me, and he'll sit up tall. And as I'm putting my shoes on, he just stares at me in my eyes. And he gives me his paw. And then I stop, and every morning I say, "Kingston, you're the best dog in the world. You're the best dog in the world." You see, our pets, they teach us about devotion. They teach us about loyalty and faithfulness. And that is why it was no accident that the writer of Acts chose the word devoted. They devoted themselves. The members of the early church devoted themselves to, first of all, the apostles' teaching. They could not wait. They could not wait to gather together to hear the good news with fellow believers. And they could not wait to hang out in fellowship and have lunch together. They could not wait to gather in their life groups. They were devoted to one another. And when the going got tough, they grew closer together. That was the life of the early church. You see, the majority of these new believers, they were Jewish by birth. Remember, Acts 1 through 7, the focus is on Jewish evangelism. Many of those who came to faith, they were freed from the bondage of arduous rules and regulations. That's all they knew for most of their life. But now the gospel brought new freedom to them. And they were excited about that. And the passage that we just read tells us that they were in awe. They were awestruck by all the wonders and the signs that they were seeing. And one difference between the church today in the 21st century and the first church is this. The one difference is this. We have the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They were actually living out the New Testament. And to authenticate the gospel message, the good news, God showed them these signs and wonders and miracles. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 2, and we'll give you an idea of these signs and wonders. Acts 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Miraculous. The scene is this. The Holy Spirit is given, and all of a sudden, people start speaking in tongues or languages that they didn't know. It was miraculous. But there were others there, and they were puzzled because they could actually understand the languages that were being uttered by people who did not know they were speaking those languages. And this was all a sign to authenticate what God was doing at that time. In the remaining weeks of our series, we'll talk more about what took place and what that means for the church. So stay tuned for that. We invite you back next week. But I also want to say this, that the church had just been born. And so these signs and wonders, they were there to authenticate and validate the good news that they were seeing. And the day of Pentecost is very significant, both in the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, Pentecost, which referred to a feast, it was a feast of weeks. Pentecost occurred 50 days after the Passover, thus Penta, Pentecost. 50 days after Passover, you had the Feast of Weeks. And in the Old Testament, on the day of Pentecost, an offering of first fruits was made. It celebrated the end of what was called the grain harvest. Now in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the believers as a sign of first fruits of the believers' inheritance. And thus began the church. God's mighty work was experienced on the day of Pentecost and throughout the book of Acts. And we read earlier that the new believers were awestruck by all these signs, and they also began selling their property and their possessions and bringing all the proceeds to the leaders, and they would distribute as needed amongst people. Now, does that mean that you and I should sell everything we have on offer up and bring the proceeds here and allow the leaders to do whatever? No, no. Okay. If God calls you to do that and to donate, that's wonderful. But you see, what we have here is a description of the foundation of the early church, but the principle still applies. As we see needs amongst us, God calls us individually to do our part. If that means you offer something up online to give to someone else, praise God. It's not a requirement. It's not a prescription. It describes what took place, and we can take that same principle and be creative even today in the 21st century. But the early church, you see, they came together because many of them, when they came to faith in Christ, they were actually now welcomed back into their homes. So they had nowhere to turn. Nowhere but the church. And the church met their needs. All throughout the book of Acts, we see example after example after example of the Holy Spirit moving the hearts of people. 30 years is documented for us in the book of Acts. 30 years. Now, in the grand scheme of things, 30 years is not a long time, really, if you think about it. 30 years is a snapshot, but it laid the foundation for us. This year, our church, Ephraim Church, turns 58 years old. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. So this year, we'll celebrate our 58th birthday. And whether you've been at our church for 50 or 40 plus years, or 14 years, or 4 years, or 4 months, God's called us all here to do our part. You see, we can look back 58 years ago, those who came before us, God used them mightily to advance the gospel. And that's why we're here today. Had they not been faithful, you and I would not be here today. That's a fact. That's a reality. But they were faithful. And now, the Holy Spirit works through you, the church now, to advance the gospel. We've been given that privilege and that responsibility. And as we faithfully steward what's been entrusted to us, we can be confident that the Holy Spirit will continue to advance the gospel through our church for many years to come. I'm going to wrap up with this. This is a huge responsibility. You and I have been given stewardship. And when I say you and I mean you and I. Every one of us. Leaders, volunteers, congregation members. My hope is this. If you're visiting for the first time today, or maybe you've been here for a few weeks, and you're looking for a church to call home, my hope is that you will see a church here who loves Jesus. A church that wants to know Jesus and make him known. And as you find a place here in our church, what we want to encourage you to know is this. We are not in the business of fossilizing. And to give you a very tangible idea, the Children's Center, some decades ago, members of our very church by hand built that building. They actually built it as part of the rich legacy and heritage and history. And now we're continuing to build upon it. Now it's possible, in fact, the reality is this. When we first began talking about the Children's Center, some of your kids were in children's ministry. Some of them have graduated from children's ministry. But all along, it's always been about the future and those who will come here. One day in the future, when our season is over here, I want to be able to look at our church and say, wow, the gospel continues to advance generation after generation after generation. And that's why the book of Acts excites me, because it moved from a small city, a powerfully small city, Jerusalem, a mighty city, in fact. It became national, and now it is cross-cultural. It's beautiful. The gospel is beautiful. And the gospel has brought all of us here together. We may share very little in common with those around us, but we share the commonality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that excites me to no end. And God's called us to faithfully steward what has been entrusted to us. Would you bow with me? Father, I thank you for our church. And for 57 plus years, you've worked through this church to advance the gospel in this place and beyond. And help us to be faithful stewards. So decades later, our church will continue to thrive and meet the needs, the spiritual needs of those who need Jesus Christ. Thank you for each person here today. For those who are newer to our church, I pray that they would find a home where they will be able to experience the love of Jesus and to grow. For those who have been here for many, many years, encourage them. Let them know that their faithful hearts are part of the reason why this church has continued to thrive in this community. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation that we have through him, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks, our Heavenly Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.